Oh, do as I say, not as I do, huh? Those words are often said with biting sarcasm, used to accuse another of hypocrisy. And probably few things that disgust us more than someone asking us or even telling us to do something that he or she is not willing to do. Do as I say, not as I do, is the very opposite of the message of today's gospel reading from the Gospel according to John. Here Jesus is instructing his disciples as to how they are to live. But he instructs them by saying they are to do as I have done for you. Moreover, these words of Jesus are not simply telling his disciples of all ages what to do. His words here empower us to do as he instructs us to do. Jesus begins by telling us to love. Now, love is one of the most frequently used words in the English language, but much of what passes for love is different from the love of which Jesus speaks here. The love about which we hear in music, TV, movies, the greeting card aisle, is a love that is directed to someone because of something lovable in that individual. Generally speaking, if we are loved by someone, it is because of something lovable about us. But the reality is, there is nothing in us that is lovable to God. Like all of mankind, we have made ourselves hateful to God by failing to do all that he commands us to do. In that, even though we were hateful to God, he loved us anyway. In our text, we read these words of Jesus, "As the Father loved me, I also loved you." Let that sink in for a moment. Even though we were not lovable to God, even though we were hateful to God, Christ loved us with the love that the Father had for him. Christ loved us with the greatest love of all. Jesus told the disciples, "No one has a greater love than this, that one lays down his life for his friends." Some of the most moving stories that we have ever heard are about episodes in which someone risked his life, maybe even lost his life, for the good of someone else. That is the love with which Jesus loved us. He laid down his life for us on the cross. But Christ's giving of himself into death had greater benefits than what anyone else ever could have brought. Because by laying down his life for us, Jesus destroyed the power of death over us. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And his resurrection from the dead means that he has taken away the sting of death from over us. Jesus said, "No one has a greater love than this, than that one lays down his life for his friends. I have called you friends." Christ laid down his life for us, and he, as an act of love, and he gives that love to us. He gives that love to us in his word, in the water of our baptism, in the meal of his body and blood. In so doing, he makes us his friends. Christ told his disciples, "I no longer call you slaves, because the slave does not know what his Lord is doing, but I have called you friends, because all things which I heard from my Father I made known to you." Jesus has revealed to us everything that we need to know for our salvation. Jesus has revealed to us the Father's plan for our salvation, revealed it to us in his word, so we might have that love and that salvation as our own. That is how Christ loved all of us, and so he calls on us to love one another. Jesus said it this way, "You love," present tense verb, "you love one another as I loved," past tense verb, "as I loved you." Christ loved us at a single point in history. When he gave his life on the cross is how he showed us the love of God. And because of his love for us there on the cross, he now calls on us to be loving one another, to be loving one another continually. He loved us though we were unlovable. That means we are to love others, even the unlovable. You know, it's easy to love the lovable. It's easy to love the attractive or the kind or the considerate or the intelligent. It's difficult to love the unlovable. It's difficult to love the rude, the arrogant, the obnoxious, the people who hurt us, or the people who just simply rub us the wrong way. Yet Christ says, love one another, making no exceptions. Elsewhere in the scriptures, it even tells us to love our enemies. Now, you probably realize without my telling you, that is quite impossible, unless we keep in mind the words with which Jesus followed. Love one another as I loved you. Christ loved us even though we were unlovable. And his love not only shows us to love others, his love empowers us to love others. To love all, even those whom we find to be unlovable. In the upper room, Jesus also spoke to his disciples about keeping the commandments of God. That is something that we have often failed to do. We have failed to love God with all heart, soul, and mind at all times. We have failed to give proper respect to those authorities that he has placed over us. We have failed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have failed to live purely in thought, word, and deed. We have failed many times to keep the commandments of God. God commands perfection of us, and anything less than perfection means that we are guilty of breaking the commandments of God. Nevertheless, God still loved us, still wanted to save us, and so he commanded his Son, Jesus Christ, to deliver us from the punishment that we deserve. And Christ was obedient to the commandment. Obedient to everything the Father had commanded him. Obedient, as Paul says elsewhere, to death on a cross. Obedient to giving his life on the cross for our forgiveness. On the cross, Christ obeyed the Father's command, won forgiveness for us for all the times that we have failed to keep the commandments of God. Our Lord referred to his obedience to the Father's commandments when he instructed his disciples, "If you keep my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love." Again, Jesus isn't simply telling us to do something, to obey his commandments. His words here empower us to keep his commandments. His keeping the commandments of the Father empowers us to keep the commandments of God. Now, our Lord, of course, commanded us to do many things, but in our text, he highlights one in particular. "My commandment is this, that you love one another as I loved you." Because he loved us, Christ obeyed the commandment of his Father that he give his life for our salvation. That being the case, then, we are to keep his commandments by loving one another. By keeping his commandments that we love one another, we remain in the love that God has for us. Jesus said it like this, "If you keep my commandments, you remain in my love. You are my friends if you do what I command." Now, we can do nothing to earn the love of God, nothing to become the friends of God. Those are all gifts of God's grace. But now, having received the love of God through faith in Christ, if we neglect to love others, then we forfeit the love that God has for us. But if we obey the commandments that we love one another, then will be joy. Joy for God, joy for us. Jesus said, I have spoken these things to you in order that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be made full. When we obey God's commandments and love one another, that gives joy to God, and our joy becomes full as well. There's yet a third way in which Jesus, in our text, speaks of what he has done for us. He says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Now let's be clear, our salvation is not a matter of our choosing Jesus, because our choosing Jesus is not something that we can do. In his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says it this way, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to understand them. But it's not up to us. It is up to what Christ has done for us. Jesus said, I chose you. In the letter to the Ephesians, we are told that God chose us before the foundation of the world. Our Lord chose us to be saved, chose us to be saved through faith in him. Chose us, for example, in the waters of our baptism, by which he claimed us as his own, by which he made us partakers with him in his death for our forgiveness and his resurrection for our eternal life. Jesus said that we are to love as he loved us and to keep his commandments as he kept the commandments of his Father. He also says this to us, I chose you and appointed you in order that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit might remain. These words of Jesus harken back to his words that we heard in last Sunday's gospel reading, where Jesus tells us that as we, the branches, remain in him, the vine, then we bear much fruit, the fruit of good works. Christ chose us to bear the fruit of good works, not just for a little while, but continually, every day of our lives. Now, there are many good works that the Bible instructs us to do, but in our text, our Lord singles out a particular one for special mention. I'm commanding you these things in order that you would love one another. In the verses of our text, Jesus mentions his love for us, his keeping the commandments of the Father for us, and his choosing us to move us to love one another. And so we see here what our life is to be like as members of this congregation. This congregation is to be a community of love for one another. Now that love means more than greetings and hugs and potluck dinners. Yeah, it does mean that, but it means much more. It means forgiving those who have wronged us. It means putting up with the imperfections of others. It means being available with an encouraging word and a listening ear to those in need. It means every action taken, every word spoken, is guided by the thought, how will this affect others? All of that characterizes life in the community of those who have heard and believed the words of Jesus, I am commanding you these things in order that you would love one another. And as a way of encouraging us in all of this, Jesus speaks of a blessing that is ours. He said, I chose you and appointed you in order that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit might remain, in order that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he would give it to you. God will answer the prayers of those who bear the fruit for which he chose them, the fruit of good works, the fruit of loving one another. Now, this doesn't mean that God becomes our genie in a bottle, giving us our every whim and wish. But those who pray, pray in the name of Jesus. And praying in the name of Jesus means praying according to God's will. as we will hear next in next Sunday's reading from the first letter of John. It means praying as Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done. As followers of Christ, we pray in that way. We pray in that way, your will be done. Because we know that the will of God is for our best. We know that the will of God is for our good in all things. And so we can pray, your will be done, not with resignation, but with confidence, for we know that God's will be done, and God's will is always for the best for us. In this portion of his farewell discourse, Jesus told his followers, "You do as I have done." Christ loved you. Out of love, he obeyed his Father's commandment that he give his life on the cross for your salvation. And he chose you to be his own. He chose you to bear fruit by keeping his commandments. And his commandments are summarized as this: love one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.